Number 7, Hebrews chapter number 7, if you'll turn there please, and we'll look there tonight in the Word of God, Hebrews chapter number 7, amen. We're going to read a few verses. I tell you what let's do, let's trying to find a break-in point here, let's just start. Let's just start in verse number, amen. I was trying to find a jump in place, but let's just start in verse 1. Some of you hadn't read your Bible in 3 or 4 days anyhow, so we'll catch up on some Bible reading. All right, verse number 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, he's talking about Melchizedek now, the priest, he's without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor ending of days, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Note that statement. Abideth a priest continually. Verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes from Abraham. Still talking about Melchizedek. And blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. If you'll just take and meditate on that statement right there, you get blessed. The less is blessed by the better. And verse number 8, and here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it was written that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, notice that, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? He's talking about in this passage, it may be running together for you, but he's talking about another priest coming on the scene that's not of the order of Aaron or of the Levitical priesthood. Why? Because that priesthood, according to verse number 11, could not offer perfection. They could not bring the people into perfection, according to verse number 11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priest, and it's not. It couldn't be. It can't. Why? Fallible men cannot give you perfection. Flawed men cannot give you perfection. Amen? But then it required another priest to come on the scene after the order of Melchizedek. Verse number 12. For the priesthood being changed. See, God is telling us now that there's a change that took place from the Old Testament covenant and the Old Testament priesthood. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity, we can shout right here, a change also of the law. Are you listening? There is a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let me use another word. It's an interchangeable word with testament. The old covenant and the new covenant. Amen. And so here, the priesthood changed from that of the old covenant. So therefore, the law changes in verse 12. Verse 13. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe. See, in the Old Testament, the priesthood was of a Levitical tribe. The tribe of Levi. Isn't that right? Well, they can't produce perfection. So God is saying we need another priest. Of course, it can't be found one on earth that can fit that. So look at it, what's happening in verse number 13. For of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. Oh, here comes the new priest. It is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. That's the new tribe that's coming out. Of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest who is made not after the law of the carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Oh, I like that. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandments going before, for the weakness and the unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect. You listening? For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing into a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh to God. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 22, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament or a better covenant. Notice that. A surety of a better covenant. I like that. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us. Oh, you ought to underscore that in your heart. For such an high priest, that is that high priest that continueth ever, that high priest that has an unchangeable priesthood, that high priest that'll never die, that high priest that'll never have to step down, that high priest that cannot be impeached, that high priest that never will be replaced, became us. Don't get too excited over that. Amen. For such an high priest became us. Okay, he became us, who is holy. He became us, who is holy. I'd say since he became us, then him being holy is transferred over into our account. Amen. Hallelujah, I'm losing my place here. Verse 26, for such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the peoples. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. You ought to see, note that word, infirmity means weaknesses and limitations. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you will help us tonight to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ and the saving grace of our God. Thank you, Lord, for loving us when we were unlovable. And we thank you that you love us now, Lord, with that consistent, unchanging, unstoppable love. Lord, we pray that you'll help us tonight as we look into this Word of God that you have preserved and inspired for us. We thank you, Lord, tonight that we've been made accepted in the Beloved based upon our High Priest, the Lord Jesus. Help us to get a hold of that truth tonight and honor you with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Back up in verse number 25 is going to be our text for the night service. I was thinking about preaching this morning, but the Lord had other plans. But verse number 25 says, let's read verse 24 with it. But this man, showing a contrast, showing a contradiction to the earthly priesthood and the earthly men that occupied that position. But this man, and I'm glad he is different. Hallelujah. I'm glad he is different. If he was the same, then we would still need a Savior. Amen. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Now, before I read verse 25, I want to show you the importance of this. In the Old Testament economy, we know that redemption wasn't in the old economy, but atonement was in the old economy. Atonement, meaning a sacrifice would have to die, blood would be shed, and the priest would offer up that blood upon the altar, but it would only do for a year. It would atone for their sin. It would roll it over, the payment for that sin. It would roll it over, which means next year it was going to pile up even more. And another lamb, another bull, another calf, another sacrifice would have to die in order to atone for sin. But what salvation was offered in the Old Testament hinged 100% on two things. Everybody listening? Keeping the law wasn't one of them. It hinged 100% on the priest and the sacrifice. That was it. But you know what? When you come into the new covenant, the new testament, if you will, salvation, my friend, still hinges on those two things. The sacrifice and the high priest. Amen. Well, that's good. Look at, and of course, you know, those priests died. Those priests got sick. Those priests, whatever, you know, had limitations and infirmities, and they would have to step down. They'd have to be replaced, you know, constantly, you know, because the Bible said even in verse 23, they truly were many priests. Why? Because they were not they were not suffered to continue. Why? By reason of death. And in the Old Testament, people couldn't go to God on their own. The priest had to represent them. Amen? And you can't go to God in the New Testament on your own apart from the priest. Thank God we have an ever-living priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? But look at it, if you will, in verse 25. Wherefore he is able. I like that. That word able is what contradicts the infirmities of the earthly priest. They weren't able. They were many times disabled. They were unable. But God is able. Look at it. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. This caught my attention. The Lord spoke to my heart about preaching. We've been preaching on Sunday morning for several weeks on an evangelistic approach and dealing with salvation and trying to see sinners get saved. And you know, the month of September was September for souls. And I said, we're just going to keep shooting in that hole. Something's going to have to give after a while. Amen. And we're going to just keep doing that as the Lord leads us, of course, by His grace. And we were planning to preach this morning. The Lord's led us to preach it tonight, so here we go. Amen. But in verse 25, it says He's able to save them to the uttermost. That word uttermost caught my attention, and I want to study on that tonight. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. By who? That priest, our Lord and Savior, that ever lives and continueth ever, that priest that's able to save. See, the earthly priests weren't able to save in the old covenant. They weren't able to save. They couldn't even save themselves, much less anybody else. But I'm glad the priest of the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ, ever lives to make intercession for us. I'm glad that He has an unchangeable priesthood. And the Bible says it. I didn't say it. Baptist didn't say it. The Bible says that He is able to save. Now, if it had just said that, that would have been good. That would have been sufficient. But the Bible added these details that He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. Amen. I like that. And so I'm glad tonight for the uttermost, and that's why I want to preach on God's uttermost salvation. The word uttermost in this scripture, according to the Strong's Concordance, means, and I don't want y'all to get too happy over this now, but that word uttermost means completely. God is able to completely save them that come unto Him. It also means utterly. God is able to utterly save them that come unto Him, unto God by Him. It also means entirely. God is able to entirely save them that come unto God by Him. It also means perfectly. You can study it out for yourself. It also means perfectly. God is able to save them perfectly that come unto God by Him. It also means all complete or full ended, entire. I'm glad of that tonight. Amen. Amen. And so one thing that I noticed that fed me, that makes God's uttermost completely, entirely, perfectly salvation a blessing, is who it is that He saves. Lord, help us. Now, let me just help you with this. Turn back, if you will, to Luke chapter 13. I love doing word studies. I love looking and studying the Word of God and seeing, you know, doing just word references and word studies. Well, I found out that the word that's translated uttermost in Hebrews 7:25 is only used one other time in our King James Bible. And it is found in Luke chapter number 13 and verse number 11. The Bible said in verse number 11, everybody there say amen. Verse number 11 of Luke chapter 13, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself." You know where the word is? That same Greek word in Hebrews 7:25 that's translated uttermost is only used one other time, and it's right here, and it is in no wise. In no wise. Now, you have to meditate on that and see what the application is. It's showing us by this illustration here that uttermost has to do with that completeness, that entirely. Nothing else could be added.
Here's a woman that had an issue. Here's a woman that had an infirmity to the point that she was bowed together and could in no wise. There was nothing else that could get worse. She had reached the limit. She was entirely consumed with this condition. Well, when you look that up and by to our salvation in Hebrews 7:25, it means that very same truth there. But I want to go at it from just a little different angle, if I could. This blessed my heart, amen. Actually, the Lord spoke to my heart about this evening. Look at it in verse 11. Here's a woman that was in a condition to where the Bible said she could in no wise lift up herself. This condition had her in this uttermost condition, if I could say that. Look what it says. And when Jesus saw her, he called to her. He called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Verse number 11 shows that she was in an uttermost condition. One that she could not change. One that she could not change. Are you listening? Oh, Lord. And then Jesus calls her in verse 12. And he says to her, "Woman, thou art loosed." That word loosed means you've been set free fully. You've been set fully free. Completely free. Utterly, entirely free. Hey. Well, Jesus specializes in the uttermost salvation. Amen. I'm glad I'm not saved on an installment plan. I'm glad Jesus saves sinners, all them that will come to God by Him. He saves them utterly and entirely and completely. Now, I don't have time to deal with this tonight, and I didn't even really want to mention it because it's one of them other trails, but there are three tenses of salvation that is in the Bible. Three tenses, and I don't have time to really deal with them, and I wasn't even going to mention them, but it's coming out, so I'm going to give it to you, at least enough to whet your appetite a little bit. And some of this you've done heard. I can scripturally say tonight, I have been saved. I can scripturally say tonight, I am being saved. And scripturally tonight, I can say, I shall be saved. Amen. I have been saved from the penalty of sin. I am being saved daily from the power of sin. And one day I will be saved, I shall be saved from the presence of sin. Hallelujah. When Jesus comes and I leave this sin-cursed world, as the songwriter had it right in the sweet air of prayer, when this robe of flesh drops and I rise to seize the everlasting prize, and while passing through the air, say, "Farewell, farewell, a sweet hour of prayer. I have been saved, I am being saved, and I shall be saved." You can't beat that, because that's God's uttermost salvation tonight. And there's a lot of preaching right there. In fact, the whole message can be preached just on those three areas of our salvation. And there's scriptures to verify and confirm all of that. Amen. I have been saved. That deals with my residence. I am being saved. That deals with, listen, let me just say it this way. I have been saved. That deals with my salvation. I am being saved deals with my sanctification, and I shall be saved deals with my glorification. Did you get it? Let me say it another way. That first one anyway. I have been saved deals with my justification. I have been justified. Amen. I am being saved, that deals with sanctification. And then I shall be saved deals with glorification. Amen. And the latter two comes out of the first. If you've got the "I have been saved" part and the justified part, the "I am being saved" and that "I shall be saved" comes out of that. Amen. But it, look at this, and I shouldn't have probably never mentioned that because that's got your mind off of Luke 13 here just for a second. But I noticed this in Luke chapter number 13, that this woman in no wise could lift up herself. I made a little note here that sin is an uttermost condition. It is. You can't get no worse than sin. If you're a sinner, if you're here tonight and you're a sinner, let me say to you, you cannot get any worse than that. That is an uttermost condition. And I'll tell you how bad it is. You cannot in no wise lift up yourself. That's what the Bible said. Are y'all following me tonight? That's how bad a shape you're in tonight. You can't do good deeds. You can't do enough reformation and straightening up and turning over a new leaf and joining churches and getting baptized. You can't do enough to lift up yourself. Sin, here's what God gave me. Sin is an uttermost condition requiring salvation to be an uttermost cure. God can't, listen, oh mercy. The cure has got to be greater than the condition. And if sin is an uttermost condition, and it is, you can't get no worse. It's entire. You cannot lift up yourself. You cannot save yourself. Amen. And so salvation, God's provision, is an uttermost cure. God is able to save them to the uttermost. Amen. Those that can't save themselves. Those that religion can't save. Those that reformation cannot save. Those that having a do-good list cannot save. I'm glad Jesus can save. Well, that gives us hope. That gives us hope tonight to be able to tell anybody, anywhere, anytime that Jesus Christ can save them to the uttermost. Amen? But let me deal with this right here. And this is very simple truth in chapter 7 of Hebrews. In verse number 25, there is two basic, and that's it, just two basic ideas here, Brother Trav, that God attaches this uttermost salvation too. And I'm glad that I am not one of them. Nod your head like this right here. Amen. I am glad that this uttermost salvation is not attached to me. Can I help you with something here tonight? This is off the cuff right here, so to speak. And that is this. Did you know your salvation is out of your reach? You say, no, preacher. My salvation's in here. The only thing that's in you that's saved is the Holy Spirit, which is the witness that it is a done deal. Amen. He is the earnest of our inheritance. He is the guarantee. He is the down payment that the deal is done. Salvation, friend, is not on this earth. It is not from this world. It is not of this world. God, by grace, brought it here in the person of Jesus. Are you listening? You say, well, preacher, where is our salvation? Now, y'all can shout about this if you get a hold of it. You say, well, where is our salvation? Our salvation, Brother Tim, is in heaven. Now, wait a minute now. You mean to tell me, preacher, my salvation is in heaven? It sure is. Where's the blood at? I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. There's all kind of verses that verifies that. Without the shedding of blood, it's no remission of sin. Amen. Neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once in the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Where's that? That's heaven. The blood that saves me from the condemning law of God is in heaven. I'm saved by the priest, the high priest. Where's he at? He is sitting on the right hand of the throne of God, ever living to make intercession for me. So my Savior's there. The blood is there. Where's my name at? Can anybody reach that? Is that within reach of anybody? Has anybody got access to that? No. I don't even have access to that. The Lamb's Book of Life, where my name is, where is it at? It's in heaven. Everything that has to do with my salvation is in heaven. Except the Holy Spirit that is within me, that has sealed me until the day of redemption. He is the witness. He is the guarantee. He is the down payment. Listen, I don't have to go to heaven and say, okay, I want to see now the book, Lamb's Book of Life. I want to see my name. I don't have to make a trip there to like Thomas and say, all right, Jesus, show me your wounds. I don't have to go there and see none of that. I don't have to go into the holy place and see the blood upon the altar. I don't have to see that. You know how I know the deal's done? I have the witness of the Spirit in my heart. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why you don't have to wait till you get there to enjoy it. It's because the Spirit of God lets you know now the deal is done and the price is paid and the sacrifice has been accepted. Well, listen, number one, write it down quickly. The first thing that I notice in this passage, and if you want to believe the Bible, you can get some help. But I can't help anybody that won't believe the book anyway. It's attached. I'm talking about this uttermost salvation is attached to two things, and I'm not one of them. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. I'm glad my salvation is not attached to you. Amen. I'd mess it up. You'd mess it up. We'd all mess it up. The first thing that it's attached to in this scripture, it is attached to the ability of the high priest and our sacrifice, because he is both. You hear me? The Old Testament priesthood, the priest was separate from the sacrifice. But Jesus in the new covenant is both. He is both the priest and the sacrifice. We needed a perfect priest that ever lives. He fulfilled that. And we needed a perfect sacrifice that would satisfy and appease the wrath of God for time and eternity. And so Jesus was that. He is both the priest and the sacrifice. He offered up himself, the Bible said right there in verse 27. Amen. I don't know if y'all are getting this or not, but it's helping me. The ability of the priest. My salvation is attached to the ability of the priest, Jesus Christ. Look at it. Where do you get that, preacher? Verse 25. Wherefore he is what? Say it. Some of you don't, you're having to strain your vocabulary to even say that word. Wherefore, I didn't say, are you able? I said, wherefore he is able. I'm not able. I couldn't save myself if my life depended on it. Amen, and neither can you. Because if you're guilty in one point, you're guilty of all breaking the law of God. Amen. Listen, look here. Ability. Wherefore he is able also to save them that come unto God by him. He's able to save them to the uttermost. It's attached to the ability of the priest. The word able means to have power. It means to have the ability or the resources, or he can do it. Amen. If you try to find salvation in anybody else or anything else, you're in vain. Your search will be in vain. We without hesitation declares loudly and without being ashamed at all, we declare quickly that Jesus Christ is in fact the only hope and the only way to heaven. I know that's very basic. That's very basic. But you'd be surprised how many so-called international televangelists that have opportunity to tell that on and have the ear of the nations, and they backpedal and soft-pedal because they don't want to be offensive to the Muslims, and they don't want to be offensive to those others that believes that there's multiple ways. And I could name some names that, and you know that. It's nothing secret. That they when they were asked if, you know, is there more than one way to heaven? And I mean, what? Listen, you don't have to give your opinion on that. All you have to do is quote a verse. Quote John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Don't tell your opinion. Tell what God says. Let them wrestle with God on it. Amen. If you give your opinion, they're going to argue with you. But if you give them the book, then they're held accountable with dealing with God's word. What about Acts 4:12? Neither salvation in any other. For there's none other name given under heaven and among men whereby we must be saved. That's pretty narrow-minded, wouldn't you say? And Brother Trav, we preach that here. And we're going to continue to preach that here. And we support missionaries that preaches that elsewhere. That Jesus Christ is the only hope. Amen. The only hope. It's not me and Jesus that's the only hope. It's Jesus, the only hope. My uttermost salvation is attached to the ability of the priest. I don't have the power. I don't have the resources. I cannot save. But Jesus can. Amen. He says he can. Wherefore he is able. Now he's either able or God lied. He's able to save to the uttermost. And that's the only way he saves anybody. It's to the uttermost. Now watch this. The Old Testament covenant, the priest could not and cannot offer an uttermost salvation. They just couldn't do it. I read it to you and commented there in verse 11. They couldn't offer perfection. They couldn't offer perfection. Amen. They didn't have a sacrifice that could do that. And they themselves as a priest was, you know, blemished. In fact, there in verse number 27, before they could offer up a sacrifice for the people, they had to offer up a sacrifice for their own sin. I'm glad Jesus didn't have to deal with that. I'm glad Jesus didn't ever have to say, Father, forgive me. I've sinned. I'm glad Jesus has never been, amen, he's never sinned. I believe, and this church stands firmly upon the sinless life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He never sinned. He could not sin. Had he ever sinned, he no longer is qualified to save us. It's attached my uttermost salvation tonight. And the salvation that we can offer to sinners around the world is an uttermost salvation, and it's attached to the able priest. The able priest. Amen. And the able sacrifice. But the Old Testament, they couldn't offer that because it were not available. It was not available. Why? Due to the faults and failures and limitations of the priest. Amen. And the lambs, though carefully as they were inspected to be without blemish and without spot, still yet they were not the perfect sacrifice. Therefore, it never satisfied God over 1 year at a time. But oh, thank God in the new covenant when Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, standing on the Jordan bank, and he said, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. The uttermost salvation is applied and attached to the ability of the priest. That blesses me. That allows me to sleep at night. That allows me to face tomorrow. It's that I know that my Savior has the ability to save entirely, completely, perfectly, and to the uttermost. Amen. Let me give you this to think about. To just verify that we don't have the ability. Now, I want everybody to listen. Now, this is very simple, but it's very true and help you. So just verify that you don't have the ability. Now, I know that's elementary for us. That's just that ABC preaching right here. But you don't have to go far from where I'm standing tonight to talk to people that think they have something to do with them getting saved. Amen. I've met them. I've talked to them. Well, you ask them, what do you think it takes to get to heaven? Well, being a good person, you know, being a good citizen, minding your own business, and all of those kinds of things. Had a man give me a big old long list of things when I asked him that question. And you know, I would commendable things. You know, commendable things, honorable things. And I said, sir, I'm going to ask you, I just want to make sure I'm understanding you now. You're telling me that list you just told me is what you're trusting to get you to heaven when you die. He said, yes, sir, that's right.
I said, I have a question. God give it to me, voice like that. I said, I got a question for you. I said, if salvation can come by that list you just gave me, then why did Jesus die? Right. Truth hit him right in the face, buddy. Slammed the door in my face. No, he didn't say it mean. I wasn't mean. The truth hit him. Right. If salvation can come by the law, if a law is given that can produce salvation, then Christ, the Bible says, died in vain. Oh, I'm glad he died because there was no hope for us. Amen. But let me illustrate the fact that there's no hope for you. Everybody's heard of Adam and Eve. Is that right? We need to probably get real basic here tonight. Everybody's probably heard of Adam and Eve, and it wasn't Adam and Steve. But here, listen to this. God knew from the history of mankind, even starting in the Garden of Eden, that man is not good enough to save himself. He was not good at anything except failing, falling, and faltering. Even in the Old Testament, in the Garden of Eden, listen to this now. I'm trying to show you how frail you are. Not how frail you were, how frail you are. And I am. In the Garden of Eden, everybody listen to say amen. When there was, listen, a perfect environment, their state was one of innocence, there was no corrupt people to influence them. They only had a 2-verse Bible. They only had 1 commandment to keep. And they still failed. If anybody should have been able to have kept the law and have saved themselves, it should have been Adam and Eve. They had everything going for them. Amen. They didn't have no television to watch. They didn't have no internet, cell phone. They didn't have no music coming in from any sources to corrupt them. They had no people on planet Earth to influence them in a corrupt way. Amen. I like that. Listen. But even though they had a 2-verse Bible that had 1 commandment in it, they still couldn't keep it. They still couldn't keep it. That shows how weak we are. That shows how frail we are. That shows us that it is absolutely an impossibility for us to live good enough to merit an entrance to heaven. Amen. I hope this is sinking in. God knew that if God was going to save man, listen to this, this is good, God gave it to me. God knew in light of what Adam and Eve did in the garden, God knew that if he was going to save us, that his salvation was going to have to be a design plan that rested 100% upon himself, because he cannot fail, he cannot fall, and he cannot falter. Hey, man. Yeah, it's no wonder. It's no wonder he put in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. It's no wonder he wrote in Romans 3:11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. It's no wonder that he wrote in Romans 3:12, that they are all gone away. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. It's no wonder that he wrote in chapter 3 of Romans, verse 19, that all the world may become guilty before God. It's no wonder that he wrote in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. That word sin means to miss the mark. You don't overshoot the mark. You don't shoot side to side and miss it. God tells us how you miss it. You know how it is? You come short. In other words, when God lays out his righteous demands of a holy law to you, and you put your very best down on that ruler, you'll measure up short every time. There's no salvation in you. There's no salvation in this world. There's no sources for it. Your flesh can't produce it. Amen. Amen. That's why it's an uttermost salvation that's attached to the ability of the priest and of the sacrifice. Amen. That's good. I like it myself. Well, we could go through the verses and various verses in the Bible that talks about the ability of God, but I'm going to move on and deal with the second truth and be done. I not only noticed that Lord, this is good now. This is very basic, but it's good. It'll help you to enjoy the salvation that God has given you, that uttermost salvation. But it is not only attached to the ability of the priest, but the second thing that I notice here is it's attached to the abiding of the priest. I don't know if you noticed as we read these 28 verses earlier. I don't know if you noticed such as verse 3, the last statement made in verse 3, abideth. It's got the E-T-H on it. Abideth a priest continually. Look on down in verse number 8. The latter, he ends verse number 8 by declaring that he liveth. Look, if you will, on over in the verse down in verse number 16, talking about the Savior, talking about the power of an endless life. I'm talking about the abiding of the priest, our Savior. Look, if you will, in verse number 21, and the Bible said, thou art a priest forever. Look on over in verse 24. But this man, talking about Christ, because he continueth, E-T-H, he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Verse 25, he comes to the verse here in verse 25. And he says that he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he what? Ever liveth. E-T-H. And then he closes the chapter by saying that he's consecrated forevermore. My salvation tonight and the salvation that God offers is an uttermost salvation. And it is connected to the ability of the priest. Amen. Amen. Well, there's some preaching right there. But it's also connected to the abiding of the priest. I want to tell you, friend, even though Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, listen to me now, even though he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary and cried, it is finished, was buried and rose again the third day, if there was ever a point now or any time in eternity future that he were to die, we then and there at that moment would be doomed and forever lost. Amen. I am not saved by his death alone. Because had he died and not got out of that grave, he still would not have been my Savior. Had he died and got out of the grave on the third day, but he dies sometime in the eternity future, he still will not be a Savior. Why? A dead Savior cannot save. Over and over and over again through chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10, God's word in Hebrews is showing the superiority of the priesthood of the Savior over the priest of the Old Testament. The Old Testament priests, if they died, Miss Susan, they'd be replaced. They had a plan B or a plan C. They'd be replacing. But can I ask you a question? Who can replace Jesus? None. No one. And here's the blessed truth. He won't never need to be replaced. He'll never come down with a disease. I wrote this down here, if I can find it right here. Listen, those Old Testament priests, a lot of times would have to step aside because of defilement. Never will be the case with Jesus. The Old Testament priests many times would have to step aside because of deficiency. Many times they'd get old and feeble and couldn't see and they couldn't hear. And they weren't able to occupy the priest's position. That'll never happen to Jesus Christ. Some of the Old Testament priests, they had to step aside because of disabilities and weaknesses. Jesus doesn't have any.
Oh yeah, some of the Old Testament priests had to step aside because of death. That said to carry him and put him in a hole somewhere. But that'll never happen to our Lord and Savior. Oh yeah, he did die. He died once, hallelujah. The Bible says he died once. But I want to tell you, praise God, he didn't stay dead. He got up. Thank God he lives. I'm saved because he lives. I'm not saved because I'm living. I'm saved because he lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Don't ever make such a prideful, boastful, arrogant statement that I'm saved by how I live. Brag on the priest. I'm saved by how he lived. And I'm saved by the fact that he continueth ever. An high priest. Oh, glory. That's good news, isn't it? Amen. You won't hear that on none of the newscasts tonight, I promise you. But all the Bible says that he ever liveth. I like that. Salvation of the people in the Old Testament hinged upon the priest and the sacrifice. But never were it offered to them in a perfect manner. There always needed to be another priest. Always were needing to be another sacrifice. But when you come to Jesus, he was the last and final and forever sacrifice and priest. When he said, "It is finished," on the cross, thank God, I want to tell you, God's wrath, they sang it tonight, and God's word declares it, when he died and cried, "It is finished," which means telestai. It cannot be added to. You can't add to it. To telestai, it's done. It's done. Everything that God demands is done. I'm telling you again, that salvation, the uttermost salvation, is attached to the ability of the priest and is attached to the abiding of the priest. I like that. Amen. Jesus told his disciples, and this got big to me. Jesus told his disciples in John 14, 19, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Brother Tim, my living comes from his living. Not my living comes from my living, but my living comes from his living. Oh, buddy, that puts all of the glory in his lap. And he deserves it, amen? Listen to this. Here's another proof text of that, Romans 5 and verse 10. "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Amen. He lives. And therefore he can save. Romans chapter number 6, and I'm done. Romans chapter number 6 shows that he died. We died with him. He was buried. We were buried with him. He arose, and we arose with him. He lives forever, and I live with him forever. Bless his name. Amen. I'm glad of that. I share his eternal life. I share his eternal life because he lives. And again tonight, just for the record, if you're taking notes, simply put, God's uttermost salvation is attached to the ability of the priest and to the abiding of the priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to help you to worship him tonight. Let's all stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight, and we thank you that you've given us a Bible that tells us what to believe.